Let's begin with some questions. What if I told you that truth is immutable? What if I told you that it isn't fluid and doesn't adjust to the times we live in? What is the barometer you would use to answer these questions? There are so many conduits in this world we live in vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. These outlets are constant in their pursuit for your soul, looking for your participation to accept its standard of truth. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. This eternal truth is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Making the choice to rely and depend upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. This is the only decision for you to make if abiding in the truth is your life's aim. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome in, TSV family, to the 53rd edition of your favorite podcast, the Spoken Verity Podcast. I am the Reverend Wiley Harris III, and I am piloting our episode this week. My brother Remy Sozo Echo was also here in the co-host chair for another end-time dialogue with me. TSV friends, it is our great joy to bring you the truth that is the Word of God every week. My brother and I are so very thankful for our faithful and first-time listeners that are joining us for this purposed conversation directed by Holy Spirit. MOG, how are you?
I'm feeling well, brother. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great, man of God. I'm great. Amen. His gifts, his presence, his will. This spiritual pivot in the message for this week is meant to reveal to us the depth of his love for us as his children. His message today, spoken through us, will also reveal our place in his church, his body, specifically as it relates to the gifts he has given us, his presence where those gifts and callings flourish, and his will where they are sovereignly executed. Let's begin our conversation, brother, as we always do, with prayer and thanksgiving. Spirit of the living God, we just thank you for another opportunity to come before you, to come into your presence, Lord God, where there is fullness of joy. The opportunity, Lord God, to speak the truth that is the Word of God to our faithful audience that comes in every week to hear the latest word from you. Father, we just thank you that your grace and mercy abounds. We know, Lord God, that as vessels of your Spirit, Father God, we know that you're not just using us to speak through, Lord God, but you speak through all of those that call on your name out of a pure heart. Father, we thank you that this message, this end time message, will get down into the lives, into the hearts of those that are listening. It will produce your nature and your life on the inside of them. Amen. They will connect with those that you have purposed for them to walk this life out with, Father. Because our gifts and our callings, Lord God, your word says, are without repentance. And so we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to present one of these gifts, one of these callings, through the Spoken Verity Podcast to our global audience. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Discipleship. A convicted follower of Jesus Christ. One that believes every word that proceeded and continues to proceed out of the mouth of our sovereign God. Brother, our 52nd engagement with our global audience unpacked the intricacies of discipleship and what that looks like in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ. Yes. Brother Sozo, you led our conversation last week, and I want you to share some of these truths that we conversed during that show. TSV friends, thank you for continuing to fill your spirits with your favorite podcast by listening to us on your chosen digital streaming platform. Your Holy Spirit-inspired prayers and support are always welcomed and appreciated. My brother.
Thank you, Rev. TSV family, as the Rev has stated, our conversation last week was centered on discipleship. Holy Spirit impressed upon me the need to present that topic for discussion. So during our time together, the Rev and I examined a few points within the context of that topic. We started off establishing the foundation by stating what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as the Rev has already just alluded to, this means a convicted follower who believes on everything that has been stated and is currently being stated. That it is a continuous process. It is not just at the time where you accept Christ and commit to his way. You continuously, till death, till you return to him, continuously being led by his Spirit.
Amen.
Such a person follows Christ, confirming his or her words and actions to the words and action of Jesus Christ. There is no ifs or buts, period. Several verities were shared during this time. And one of them says that Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you remain in my word, if you continue in my word, if you stay in my word, you are my disciples indeed.
This
is from John. Amen, brother. This is from John 8:31. So we touched on that particular concept of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ, analyzing that a disciple of Jesus Christ abides in the word. A disciple of Jesus Christ brings forth spiritual gifts. We also went on to define discipleship, and then we analyzed what is involved in that process of discipleship. And then finally, the last part of our discourse was centered on why discipleship is so important in the church today. There are so many revelations that was given to us during this time. If you've been saved for a while or you just got saved recently, we believe that our 52nd episode will help you fully understand or begin to understand this vital process in the life of a believer that takes you from accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior to becoming more like him in thoughts, words, and actions.
Amen, brother. TSV family, that 52nd episode on discipleship is going to allow you to see and to hear the process in which we are conforming to the image of Jesus Christ, a convicted follower. You're not wavering based upon what's going on in the culture, what's going on in this natural world, or even places in the church where sin is still abounding. We have to operate as a convicted follower of Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we in this world.
Come on.
So TSV family, take a listen to episode 52. It'll bless your spirit.
Amen.
TSV community, another shift happened in the spirit as I prepared for this week's episode. I recently had the pleasure of seeing my son earn his college degree from Liberty University at age 19. Our whole immediate family, including my parents and my sisters, made the trip to the Virginia foothills to watch our son fulfill one of his goals. There was so much turmoil leading up to that time, specifically attacks against my family. I believe this was the impetus for the shift. Despite the subtle work the enemy attempted to do within my family in those preceding days, three things were revealed and/or reiterated to me: God's gifts and callings in my son's life and in the lives of all of those that believe in Jesus Christ are without repentance. God's presence that our praise invites fills us with joy, and that his sovereign will, his divine purpose, cannot be stopped no matter what. I know some of you were tuning in to hear the destructive force of pride part 3, but this pivot is Holy Spirit's way of telling us that despite of what we may think is a hindrance to our purpose, to our communion with him, to our God-gifted spiritual and natural powers only meant to be enacted in his presence, is really a part of our training and maturity as sons and daughters of God. All we need to do is simply obey the voice of the Spirit so that his gifts, his presence, and his will for your life will be fitly joined together and enable you to fulfill the purpose he created you for. The tethering of these three verities is our conversation's focus today. Brother Sozo, in advance of the first part of our communion, you have anything to impart to our friends here as we open up the conversation?
Thank you, brother, for that opening, and as always, for the transparency. Glory to our sovereign God. You know, even within that context, it's that being pliable. as in when the Holy Spirit shifts you, you shift, talking about gifts, presence, and will, knowing that this is not our show. This is Rev and Sozo doing it now. Who knows? He calls somebody else like, hey, hand this over to them and move on to something else. You know what I mean? So you didn't in pride go like, no, this is what I've said. I have to keep my word. I've told people that, you know, I'm a man of my word. I've told people, but in submission to his will.
Right. Right.
Like, this is where you want to go. Whatever the enemy thought he was doing, it always ends for the good of those who are called according to his
right.
purpose.
Exactly.
We'll get into all that in a minute.
Exactly. And you have to adhere to that calling.
Yes.
And yes, we'll get into this
yes.
as we continue in our 53rd episode here. So, brother, let's continue the conversation. Let's kick it off here by you answering the first question as you've been led by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 11:29, it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What does this mean for a believer in Jesus Christ? Brother Sozo.
Thank you, Rev. So we know that this verse is towards the end of Apostle Paul's message concerning the salvation of the Jewish people. He kicks it off in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans and continues all the way to the 11th chapter where we are now. But the central principle found in this verse refreshes us to this day well beyond its direct relevance to Israel. Hence, my gratitude to Holy Spirit for giving you this question, brother. What does this verse mean for a believer in Jesus Christ? I'll start by reading the Amplified translation of Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For he does not withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit of God. Thank you,
brother.
Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So what has our sovereign God given to a believer in Jesus Christ, Rev? Well, let's start in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where the Bible tells us that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. TSV family, continue with me to verse 9. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to read that verse again, this time from the Amplified Version. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we will walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us.
Preach.
Bro. Now, to directly answer your question, Rev, to a believer of Jesus Christ, Romans 11:29 means that our sovereign God, in his unfathomable grace and mercy, has given us gifts and called us to his purpose before we were even created, and we are to walk in these gifts and calling. Some of these gifts include, but are not limited to, healing, speaking in tongues, performing miracles, leadership, and serving. Now, it is very possible to be a believer in Jesus Christ and not be aware of your gifts or calling, living an unfulfilled life.
Yes.
One could also be conscious of these gifts and still yet decide not to use them or use them from the wrong purpose. But none of these scenarios changes the verity that our sovereign God will not resign nor repent of the gifts and calling on the life of a believer. It is a covenant that he made, and as believers in Jesus Christ, we can fully partake in it.
Yes.
But in order to operate fully, or to use biblical terms, walk in this good work he prepared for us beforehand, the believer in Jesus Christ must be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, or else there may be consequences. And I believe we will discuss this later on in the episode. I'll wrap up my response to this question for now, Rev, with this verse from James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's Amen. What Holy Spirit gave me to share with our family and you, my Rev.
Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. So, TSV family, as we are wont to do, we are in each other's notes. So this is going to be a continuous theme. And I think that one of the most important pieces that I heard from your answer, brother, is that these gifts and these callings that are without repentance and that are irrevocable mm-hmm. are because of the covenant that we have with him through our receiving of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that right there, the understanding of covenant, which we'll touch on just a bit in this session, will allow the listeners to hear and understand that this is a part of what God is doing for us, provided our belief in Jesus Christ has been ratified. And when I say that, I'm saying in terms of the gifts and the callings working according to his will.
Yes.
And we're going to get into that more here. So, brother, I thank you for your answer. So, Romans 11:29, that says, and I'm going to read this again from when you read the Amplified version, because, man, that right there just set the whole foundation for your answer for this first question. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, for he does not withdraw what he has given. Nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call.
Come on.
What does scripture say when he said, I will in no wise cast you out?
Come on.
If I've given you this, you have received my son, Jesus Christ, I will in no wise cast you out. So who are you to cast anyone out that he's connected with you?
Come on.
This is why divorce is out of pocket. This is why unforgiveness and all of the things that disconnect you from those that he's connected you with is an abomination to God.
Yes.
I know that's another conversation, but when you said this, it dropped into my spirit. He will in no wise cast you out.
Yes.
Yeah. So he will in no wise withdraw the gifts and the callings that he has for
already.
You
Come
in
on.
Your life.
Come on.
Holy Spirit. Let's look at two words in that verse, brother. Gifts and calling. The gifts you have come from our sovereign God. So I'm going to give some more context and background here as I answer this question. Their intended use is for his calling on your life, executed in his presence and under direction of his spirit. They are not for you to consume upon your lusts at your direction against his will. More on that later in the episode. So what are the gifts Paul is highlighting here by revelation from Holy Spirit? These gifts are spiritual gifts, as detailed in 1 Corinthians 12:27-31, and then the first verse of chapter 13. And brother, you touched on this just a little bit. And again, I'm going to give some more context and expound upon that within my answer. So we're going to start in verse 27, and it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. So we're going to highlight the sum piece here and give some more context. Yeah. First, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now we're going to chapter 13, the first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's the excellent way here. So we see here the spiritual gifts and callings are tethered together. The callings are listed in order of their office level. We see the first office is the apostle. The reason this office is listed as the most important of the callings in the early church is that these were those who saw Jesus Christ in his resurrected state and were chosen by him as foundational leaders who were to teach the fundamentals of the gospel to the church body. The prophets interface God's revealed word to his people, his children, and teachers break down for the body the meaning of the truth that is God's word. Remember, these callings are from God. We cannot anoint ourselves as to any of these callings in the church. You must be called by the Spirit of God. Now notice the spiritual gifts listed in these scriptures. Healing gifts, workers of miracles, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Paul is asking, do all in the body of Christ operate in these gifts? But what he isn't doing is discoursing our capacity to do so, considering his statement that we should desire earnestly these gifts. We also know this because of what we see in Mark 16, 17, and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Brother, these scriptures in Mark speak to the believer that is operating in the fullness of the authority that they have through Christ.
Yes.
In his name.
Yes.
Notice gifts of healing and tongues being mentioned as signs that follow them that believe in Jesus Christ. We should desire these gifts because the manifestation of them in our lives are indicators of spiritual maturity in the life of a believer.
Yes.
However, the last part of 31, going into the first verse of chapter 13, tells us what connects the gifts and the callings, what allows the gifts to work within the callings, and even for those who don't fall under these offices, the laity, but believe in Jesus Christ. What is Holy Spirit telling us here? All of these gifts and callings bestowed upon the body of Christ by God work by love. TSB friends, if you do not walk in the love that has been shed abroad in your heart by Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus Christ, then the gifts and the callings you have been elected without repentance to walk in by God will not work as he purposed, because you have shunned the most excellent way.
Yes.
Love. Therefore, we need Holy Spirit to direct us within these gifts and callings. We will expound more upon that, my brother, in the next segment. Weigh in here, brother, before we move to the second stanza.
Rev, the Holy Spirit brought to mind Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But verse 12, I think, is where he really wants me to be. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Amen. And see, this is where, when you say this, and this is part of the reason why this has been laid out by Holy Spirit this way, people think in the world and in the church that not everybody can speak in tongues.
Yeah.
It's not about whether you can. It's not about capacity. It's about whether he is purposing you to operate in that gift for where you are at the time. It's not about capacity.
Come on.
He says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yes.
All things. So he didn't separate out. People like to use that scripture for other things.
Yes.
But he said all. So what does all mean? It means all, brother.
All,
so
all of it.
Exactly. So it's not talking about capacity here.
No.
It's talking about purpose. It's talking about as these gifts are directed by Holy Spirit in his presence to make sure that his will is being fulfilled in the earth. And you're going to we'll find out what that will is as we continue in the message, brother.
Yes, sir.
TSB family, our episode today is titled His Gifts, His Presence, his will. And for our second question, Brother Sozo, King David said in Psalms 51:11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why do we need Holy Spirit to direct our use of the gifts he gave us? Brother Sozo.
Why do we need Holy Spirit to direct our use of the gifts he gave us? Okay. Let's go back to the promise of the Holy Spirit, Rev. Let's start in John chapter 14, beginning in the 16th verse. And I will pray the Father, this is Jesus Christ talking, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. Hmm. Coming down to the 26th verse of that same 14th chapter of John. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Moving on to John chapter 16, starting at the 13th verse. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare to you. So this is Christ preparing his disciples for the Holy Spirit. And we're talking of why we need the Holy Spirit to direct our gifts. So I had to go back to, if I could use a phrase, the introduction of the Holy Spirit within, on the earthly space, you know, within the human realm, because he's always existed from the creation of time, right? From the Genesis 1. Moving on now, let's come to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Amen.
Keynote here, Rev, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's continue. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why do we need Holy Spirit to direct our use of the gifts he gave us? Christ has already laid it out here, how he is the Spirit of truth. And without him, we won't have the power. If we look at where he promised, the second to the last verse I just read, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, telling the disciples, wait in Jerusalem. He didn't say, hey, here you go, have it, speak in tongues. No, wait for the Holy Spirit until it is the right time, meaning that without the Holy Spirit, this will not come to you. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, when they were now filled with the Spirit, they began to speak in tongues. Let's dig a little bit deeper and come to really understand more about the importance of the Holy Spirit in connection to the use of the gifts which he gives us. Let's start with Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right. Continue a little bit with me, Rev, and Tears with Family to 1 Corinthians 2, starting at the 10th verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Moving on. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. Right there in this verse, Paul is laying it out for us that without the Spirit, it is impossible to know the things of God. And then he makes that statement, which I repeated, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot access these things given to us by God, nor can we fully operate in them. Attempting to do so will lead to a catastrophic end. Let me continue here to wrap up my response to this question. We need the Holy Spirit to direct our use of the gifts he has given us, because without him, there's no truth in us, as we have seen from when Christ promised that he is the Spirit of truth. Without him, we don't have connection to the source of our gifts and no power to fully operate within those said gifts. As Apostle Paul said in 1 Galatians 5, 16 to 18, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Rev, when believers in Jesus Christ are not using their gifts as directed by Holy Spirit, who is the source of all gifts, they are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, which, like I said, could lead to dire consequences.
That was a great answer, Brother Sozo. Appreciate the context and the clarity in which you shared your answer from Holy Spirit. And when Holy Spirit gave me this question, I said to myself, this is going to go in multiple places, because what you were stating was the vitality of Holy Spirit to you, period.
Yes.
And as we're talking about the gifts that he's giving us, that's a part of our lives, but it's not the totality of our lives. It's a portion of it, which is what the question was asking. But you can't get to the portion of the gifts without talking about the totality of the life that he gave you. So when you say that and you bring that into the conversation, I know that this is Holy Spirit, because I said in my spirit as I was writing this question down, wait a minute, I know there's more here, but he was keeping me on the gift side in terms of the specific nature of his gifts, his presence, and his will. Yeah. But when you're answering this question, none of that matters, because if your life is not being directed, your whole life, adhering to the whole counsel of God, so that then these gifts and his presence that you operate these gifts in will manifest his will for your life. So I thank you for that answer, brother. And in John 4:24, where it says that God is spirit, people like to say God is a spirit. No, God is spirit. He is the origination. There is no other spirit before God. He is spirit.
Yes.
It's like class, spirit, God, right? And his worshipers must worship him in spirit. And in truth. So when we are worshiping, when we are receiving the direction of God, we do it in spirit and in truth. Brother, thank you for that answer.
Amen.
Now, brother, as I was stating earlier, when I was putting this answer down, I really wondered why this was a question at all. Why do we need Holy Spirit to direct our use of the gifts he gave us? Well, the answer is in the question. He gave us the gifts.
Exactly.
So he should be and must be the one directing these gifts and not us.
Yep.
Now, this is yet another area where pride can attempt to take root. We start to view the gifts, the callings in and on our lives as derived by us.
Yes.
We make the deathly assumption that we can direct our lives and chart our own path. using what God gave us for our own selfish ambition and glory. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. For believers who have made a choice to commune with Holy Spirit and allow him to assist in their conforming to the image of Jesus Christ, these verities my brother and I are contemplating in this episode is continued confirmation of the vitality of their intimate relationship with him. However, let's go a little deeper here, Sozo. I open this question with Psalms 51:11, where David was crying out to the Lord and asked him to not cast him away from his presence, nor to take his Holy Spirit from him. Now, what does King David mean here? David was called by God to lead his people, Israel. He was anointed to do so by the prophet Samuel. And when that occurred, the Spirit of the Lord came with such power on David that he recognized in this moment of crying out that he could not effectuate his calling through his own power. Using his gifts, he needed to be in the presence of God. And while being in his presence, he needed to be led by the Spirit of God to tether his God-given gifts to his calling, his anointing to be king. King David knew that these gifts and his kingly calling without being in God's presence, being directed by his Spirit, would ultimately consume him. This is King David's humility here on full display. Now let's look at verse 10, the verse directly above verse 11, to ratify these verities. David asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. He wanted pride out. He wanted self out. He didn't want to wind up like his predecessor, King Saul, who lost his calling and was removed from the presence of God. The gifts, the calling Saul had consumed him because he chose the people he was called to lead and serve over the one who gave him the gifts, the calling, and allowed him into his presence, our sovereign God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And TSV community, if you are not following the leading of the Spirit in all things, then you are not operating as a son or daughter of God in the sense that you haven't matured to the point to where you are following his leading, his direction when he calls, or even when you inquire. Following the leading of Holy Spirit, my friends, is how you keep selfish, deathly ambitions away from you and allow the fullness of God's Spirit to propel you like King David into the joy of your salvation to win souls for the kingdom. Without the presence of God, the gifts and callings he has bestowed on your life by his divine will consume you. Brother Souls, do you have anything to add here before we go to our final segment?
Bro, the presence of God. That by itself can be a show on its own.
Sure.
To dive into what that really means and how we can even sense it and how being in the presence of it. There's so much that we can pull out from there, but yeah, that's just like a share.
I understand that. And as we go into our third segment here, we'll dig in a little bit more with the connection of his presence and to his will.
Yeah.
Because in his presence is fullness of joy, but you have to come into his presence to get direction from Holy Spirit to be able to direct the gifts and fulfill his will.
Come on.
But see, a lot of people don't understand that. They try to skip steps. You have to come into the presence of God. And when you come before the king, you don't come in before the king any old kind of way. You have to come in according to his word. Now you do it boldly.
Yes.
Come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find the grace to help in your time of need.
Yes.
But you do it in confidence, but also in reverence and respect in the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
So when you come into his presence, now you are in a place to where you can be directed by Holy Spirit for the gifts and the calling that he has for you in your life to fulfill his will, which is to bring in souls for the kingdom. So all of these things tie in and tether, and you're right. Having a show on the presence of God just in and of itself is probably going to be another show, just because you have to understand his presence. And in his presence, sin cannot stand.
No,
in his presence,
Come on.
Anything that is contrary to the word of God cannot stand.
No.
So
no.
You have to, when you come in understanding that now you don't go in thinking that you have to be perfect to come before God because no one can be.
Mm-hmm.
However, you recognize that the blood of Jesus Christ allows you entrance in to the presence of God. That's what allows you in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to receive Jesus Christ before you can come in again. Another show, but I want to make sure that that part is really delineated for our audience and understanding his presence and the connection between that, his will, and the gifts.
I'm reminded of John 14:23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
Hallelujah. Yes. And we will.
We.
This is when he said, let us make man.
Yes.
This is the communion. This is him talking to himself. Come on with that. See, this is where people, they start to lose it. They don't understand the triune nature of our God. And we're going into another topic.
Yeah,
but this is important to understand that these gifts, his presence, his will, these are all tethered together, but it's all directed sovereignly by our God.
Yes.
Brother Sozo, what
in
a
relationship.
Blessing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, in relationship with Holy Spirit. This is why allowing him to do that in your life will allow these gifts to manifest in his presence and fulfill his will for your life.
Yep.
TSV family, our 53rd engagement this week is understanding the connection between God's gifts and callings he has conferred upon us, his presence where joy is full, and his will, where we live out our purpose as directed by his Spirit. And Brother Sozo, as we roll into our final segment, answer this final set of questions for our global audience. We know that God's calling on our life is a part of his will for our lives. What does he call you to do, brother? And what do you do to walk out his calling as a part of his will for your life daily?
Rev, this question. Talk about an introspection, right? Having you, causing you to look inside. What has he called me to do? And what do I do to walk out his calling as a part of his will for my life daily?
That's right. Daily.
Daily. It's not just a seasonal thing. Not every 5 months, every 6 years. Daily.
No, daily.
So I would say I am called to serve. Now, within that involves me being a father, being a husband, being co-host of Spoken Verity podcast. And also on the vocational side, what I do for my clients. Because I think that calling of serving encompasses all of that, rather than me picking out, oh, no, I'm called to teach. And if I look at all these areas I just listed out for you, I'll start with being a husband. The Bible tells us to serve our wives as Christ did. We said to love, but it's to serve, right? Even unto death. And then our children, being a father, we had this great series on what it means to be a man, a father, and a husband. It's within that same context of serving them, helping them to nurture their gifts and impacting the wisdom of God in them. Now, to this venture that he has called me and you, yes, we teach the word. Yes, we bring the word, but we're serving the people in the sense that we're helping them. Right? Because serving is that broad application of practical help to those who need it, those who need to hear a word from the Lord. And he calls them to pick up an episode that we've prayed and listened to and prepared, because none of this has been done for our glory. It's for him and to be all within that space. And then finally, vocationally, on my social media handles, I identify myself as a redemptive technologist that's been called to create digital solutions for the good of others and to the glory of God. So that defines my gift that he has given me within the technology space. I didn't just say a technologist, but redemptive technologist, meaning that by his grace and with his wisdom, I am using the tool of technology in a redemptive way for his glory and the good of others. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 tells us that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Which brings us to the second part of your question. What do I do to walk out his calling? I seek wisdom and direction from him daily. Number one, James chapter 5, verse 16. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Psalms 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And one of our favorite verses, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So in walking out the calling for his calling on my life according to his will, I seek wisdom and direction from him, going to him, calling upon him and asking him to guide me and lead me. Secondly, I do all things as to the Lord. That's why even when I identify myself on social media, I make sure that it is declared there that this is unto the glory of God and for the good of others. Because I know, as Colossians 3:22 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord.
The Lord Christ. Yes, brother, sir.
We know that he is our provider. So when I attend to clients, I don't do it out of, oh, yeah, this is it. This is how, this is the money I'm going to use to build a house. No, the Lord has already provided all that. He will lead me down that path. It is serving. The same thing too within what we do here, within my family as a husband and a father. And also Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Mm-hmm. Now, none of all this I am stating to you is being said in perfection. Right. It is a work in progress, but these are steps I attend to every day, being led by his spirit and by his grace and mercy. Finally, I look for ways to serve others. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Rev, because whatever gift or calling he's given to me, it's all about him and less of me. That's how I answer your question, my brother.
Amen, brother. What a blessing. When I'm listening to you, we're back in each other's notes again, because this comes to, in essence, what the callings and the giftings are for.
Yeah.
A lot of times we tend to think that these callings and these giftings are for us.
Yeah.
And yes, there is some spiritual benefit, not some. There is benefits for you having these gifts and then operating them in them as God has purpose, specifically doing it that way so it doesn't consume you.
Yes.
But it's also for those that he's connected you with. And service is how you do it. And when you said that, it reminded me of the scripture in Galatians 5:13, where it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to your flesh, but by love serve one another. So these are where your giftings and your callings manifest themselves.
Yes.
Through service. The apostles were servants. The teachers, the prophets, they were servants. Yes. Servants of God that were serving his people. Yes. So when you have these giftings and these callings in your life, realize, TSV family, that this is not for your edification and for your glory, for, you know, social media likes and followers and, you know, massive mega churches. And I'm not knocking the massive mega church, because God uses, it's his body. So he uses it as he sees fit.
Yeah.
However, we cannot forget the intimacy of service.
Yes.
And you can do that within one-on-one time, or you can do that within a large body, but you cannot lose the focus on service. And when you said that, that is the root of the answer to this question, which is service. And it manifests itself in these different ways. And so those two giftings and those two callings that you mentioned in terms of being a husband and a father are obviously my two as well, just because it blends right into that. So as I answer this question, brother, there are several calls on my life. And when I say several, there are a lot of things, as you mentioned, that you can now name if you see that. And this is not in pride. God has purposed us, for to whom much is given, much is required. We've been required. We've been given a lot. So we've been required a lot. And it's not something that we do and look at as a burden. This is something that we are thankful for, to be in these positions, because we recognize that through obedience, we are able and enabled to walk through this process of fulfilling his will.
Amen.
So these callings, brother, which I believe have been revealed to me over time. But within these calls, though, there are two that stand out almost immediately because they happened in what most would say was very early in my story. Mm. These two callings are being a father and a husband. Mm. Now, community, you may say, Rev, those callings aren't a part of what you read from 1 Corinthians 12.
I know.
You would be right. However, those are not the only callings. And I know I made mention of that earlier, but I'm going to reiterate that here.
Yeah.
Being a father and a husband are also callings from God.
Yes.
And true to callings, not everyone will be a husband or a father.
Come on.
But all men have the capacity to be. Faithful listeners of the Spoken Verity podcast know why I listed father before husband for me. Mm-hmm. My daughter was born to me when I was 19 years old. At that time, unfortunately, I wasn't living the way I had been taught by my parents. Mm-hmm. I could have had a child well before that age. However, God, in his sovereignty as the giver of life, decided that my now wife of 23 years, when this airs, would carry my seed for us to raise two children he gave us in the nurture and the admonition of his infallible word. This was by divine providence of my God.
Amen.
Not for me to sin, mind you, in terms of having sex before marriage, but for me to see, even more so now, that he called me to be a father and a husband, and that no sin can change that. Now, why am I talking about this? I think it's very important for men of God, believers in Jesus Christ, women as well that are hearing this, to recognize that your story is not defined by your mistakes.
Come on.
God has already purposed your life. He knows what you're going to do from the time that you were born until the time that you die. And the more you engage with him in his presence, where joy is full. So come on in.
Yeah.
And allowing Holy Spirit to direct the gifts that he has purposed for you to do. Not looking at other people's gifts and judging wishing that you had that and coveting and things of that nature. But allowing him to show you the purpose for those gifts and how they fitly join together within his will for your life in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Then you will be able to see, as it continues to progress, what the work that he's not just doing in your life, but in your wife, in your children, in your businesses, in whatever he has purposed you to do, because you have yielded to his spirit.
Come on.
And when you do that, it will open up so many doors for you in your life because you know, and he knows, more importantly, that you have yielded to his spirit to do exactly what he says when he says it.
Come
not
on.
Continuing to figure it out or trying to put in your own wisdom as opposed to simply just listening to the voice of the spirit and doing what he says. Brother, I am reminded of Romans 8, 38 through 39. And it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother, I walk out these callings daily by remembering his great love for me. For while I was yet a sinner, even in my sin, Christ died.
Come on.
This is what the scripture says in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this.
Mm.
While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Come on.
TSV family, I remember his love for me. I meditate on that love. I rejoice in his presence where there is fullness of joy. I know that his purposes for my life cannot be thwarted, that he is sovereign and that what he purposes prevails, no matter what I may plan or do to the contrary. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans of a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. When I see my wife, my family, my children, I know that these two callings are my life, were ordained by God, and they are irrevocable. He is the God that never changes, TSV family. When we follow his leading, we walk out our calling in his kingdom. Man of God, you have anything additional here before I conclude our episode?
Emoji. I'm reminded of two verses, brother. Proverbs 3, starting at the fifth verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Yes.
In all your ways, not in just a few ways, not in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your part.
Amen.
TSV family, I'll leave you with this second verse. Psalms 127 verse 1, the first part. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. God bless you.
Holy Spirit of God. Now, obviously, he dropped that right in.
Yeah.
TSV family, do you realize that your labor, undirected by Holy Spirit, is vanity? And we know what it says in Ecclesiastes about vanity. There's nothing new under the sun. Yeah. Don't operate in these places of being directed by your own self, being led by your flesh to operate and consume it, consume whatever the gifts he's given you upon your lust. This is not the place for a believer in Jesus Christ, and the enemy will do his best to be able to direct you in that manner. And he's looking for places. Scripture tells us that we are snared by the words of our mouths. So watch what you're speaking.
Come on.
Watch what you're saying in terms of your gifts, your callings. You know, don't look down on them. Don't speak down on them. Well, they're not as good as this brother or this sister or whatever the case may be. No, this is the gift he gave you.
Come on.
Fulfill that calling by getting in his presence. You don't know what that gift is going to do, how many souls they're going to win, but you're more concerned about how it makes you look, how you engage with other people. Or what is this gift going to allow me to go to these high places and have people to recognize me and all of that? None of that matters. If it happens, it happens, but you have to allow Holy Spirit to direct you in that manner, and it's not being directed by yourself. And if you believe that, then you will not fulfill his will for your life, and you will have blood on your hands concerning those that he has directed you to engage with, and you didn't.
And you refused
because you stayed selfish and focused on what you wanted to do and attempting to build your own house as opposed to building his house, his kingdom in the earth.
Come on.
Brother, his gifts, his presence, his will. As we wrap up our time together today, let's recap our conversation. God's gifts and callings on our life, sovereignly bestowed and decreed, are irrevocable without repentance. In order for those gifts, those callings, to not consume you and separate you from God, they must be exercised in his presence, directed by his Spirit. Once you have aligned your will with these truths, his divine will can be fulfilled in your life to turn those in need of a savior to Jesus Christ in repentance, faith, and obedience. My friends, the choice is yours. You can make the hubris decision to direct your God-imparted gifts in the manner which you choose, thus opening the door for the enemy of our souls to separate you from God through your choices. This action will lead to death, either physically, spiritually, or both. Or you can choose to believe the love he has for you and allow the gifts and callings he has given you to flourish in his presence and allow you to fulfill the purpose he created you for in his kingdom. Choose the latter, my brothers and sisters. I'll leave you with James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The lost souls are saved from death through your obedience to the Holy Spirit, which aids his calling of them to Christ. In light of his love for us and the elect not yet converted, choose to believe the love God has for us. He has provided the gifts and the calling. Follow his Spirit and fulfill his will for your life and for his kingdom. Brother Sozo, unpack for our friends a quick look into our next chapter of their favorite podcast.
TSV family, next week, we will be looking at the church. What is the church? We reference that a lot in our episodes, but what does it mean when we say the church? So that will be the focus of the 54th episode of TSV.
TSV community, the church, talking about your membership, where you are, the entrance, all of the things that make up the church. So tune in next week for episode 54 of your favorite podcast. Let's close episode 53 in prayer.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you once again for this opportunity to be led by your Spirit, to speak the truth that is your word in love, without filter, without shame, without concern for those that may not understand it or those that may criticize it. And when I say concern, Lord, I'm saying it from the standpoint of attempting to change the truth to allow them to be comfortable in hearing it. Father God, your word knows no bounds. Your word, Father God, goes forth and pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, Lord God. It's the truth.
Yes.
And this truth, Father God, is what sets us free.
Amen.
Father God, your presence, your will, your gifts, they are all tied together. They're tethered by your Spirit, which works by love. All of this works by love, Lord God. And we understand, Lord, that when we continue to share this, that when we continue to speak your truth, your love will come in. Your Spirit will come in and you will dwell with us. You will direct us in the path that you've purposed for us to be in, not comparing other gifts and getting involved in the concern of who has what, Father God, but only looking to be led of the Spirit and to please you, my Father. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this end time message, and that those that are hearing it recognize that your gifts, your presence, and your will are all tethered together, and that we must fulfill your call by using the gifts that you've given us to fulfill your will for us. And we can only do that when we have consulted and yielded to your Spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that those that are hearing this, whether they've believed for the first time when they heard this message, Father God, or they've been believing for years, Father God, it is bringing them to a place of understanding of where they are in your kingdom and what they can continue to do as we earnestly await the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for this time, the opportunity to come before your people. We give you all the praise, the honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing it was for us to commune together during this week's episode. We are so thankful for your steadfast support of the Spoken Verity podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so that we can continue to demonstrate our fervent love and compassion for you, our Holy Spirit-inspired audience, each and every week. The heart of our podcast is to speak verity to aid Holy Spirit's leading of souls to Jesus Christ. If your eternal salvation isn't secure today, we invite you to go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.